The time here in the Inland Northwest is coming up on 5 minutes past 10 o'clock. I'm Jim Tevenin. Welcome to hour two of Music for Your Monday Morning and something very special. Across the way from me here in the KPBX studio, I have a composer who is an assistant professor at Gonzaga University. Her name is Shu-Ying Lee. And seated across from me as well, flutist for the Spokane Symphony Orchestra, who will be playing on a program at Gonzaga tonight, and that's Bruce Bodden. So greetings to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Let's start with you, Shu-Ying. You started at a rather inauspicious time at Gonzaga University back in the academic year starting in 2020. It must have been kind of a surreal experience for your first year of teaching there.
Yes, it was quite a panicky experience. In March, I signed my contract when, you know, the news broke out and shutdown happened and all the universities started laying off people. Luckily, our institution did not lay off one people, but I signed my contract as soon as possible and moved to Spokane in May and started the following September.
Well, a very belated welcome to you.
Thank you.
Congratulations on being at Gonzaga, where you teach composition, appropriately enough, you being a composer, and music theory as well. Tell us a little bit about you, how you got started in music. Were you trained from a very young age in an instrument, or how did that work for you?
I guess informally, I got this little keyboard when I was about 3 years old. I was born and raised in China. And I started to play some random tunes without any formal training. So my parents picked that up and they were like, oh, you might be talented. So finally, at 7 years old, I got my first real piano and started piano lessons. And I didn't get into composition officially until, I guess, my junior, senior year in high school. But I had always been, loving playing around the piano, making some tunes myself. And then I made into the Shanghai Conservatory of Music for college. Interestingly enough, not majoring in composition. I was majoring in ear training and minoring in composition. And not long after that, I just discovered how I have this passion and love for composition instead of ear training. But because, according to the policy there, I couldn't change my major, so I transferred to the Hart School in Connecticut after my sophomore year at Shanghai.
Okay, so you were not intending to go abroad to study. It just kind of happened that way because of the limitations they put on you in terms of what you would study.
Right. It was a pretty quick decision during my sophomore year.
Right. Well, good. We're very glad that happened because is that something that ultimately you think paved the way to your working here?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That really, this whole experience, I got here 12 years ago, really shaped who I am as a musician and composer.
Mm-hmm. And what were the first pieces that you wrote that you had some, I'll use the word success, just in terms of being with the ensemble that you heard in your head and something that you said, yes, that's what I wrote?
Okay, that's a very good question. Yeah, I guess there had been a long exploring process as a composer because you often have something in your head. It doesn't really, get realized in a real, in an authentic way as how you imagined. I guess my first breakthrough would be the orchestra piece I wrote in my junior, senior year at Hart School. I got a reading of that by the Hart Orchestra, and that was the first time I heard the sound, a really massive group of people, and I loved it. And then later that piece got selected by the Seattle Symphony's Celebrate Asia competition. So I got the first breakthrough, I guess, a premiere by the Seattle Symphony 2 years later.
Well, that's delightful. That's really wonderful. Are there any models that you have in terms of composers, not for imitation by any stretch of the imagination, but just in terms of their approach to music that inspire you along the way?
Sure. There's definitely a list. I'm a big fan of Stravinsky, Bartok. That's, you know, the older generation. And later on, I also very enjoyed the music by Lutosławski, a Polish composer. And currently, there are some living female composers who are like my models. A Finnish composer, Sarah Karjaho. Mm-hmm. Sarajaho, and a German Korean composer, Usik Chin.
Okay, Sarajaho, I've definitely heard of and heard her music, but the other composer is a German.
She's a Korean. Okay, she's based in Germany.
But based in Germany, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. Do you have? And this may not be an answerable question, but if you were given an open commission to write for any ensemble that you liked to write for, what would that be?
It might still be orchestra. I have a love for that, you know, giant, you know, palette of colors, and it's just a wonderful canvas that you could have endless possibilities
to. So let me go back just a little bit to the piece that you mentioned that you had played by the Heart Orchestra, mm-hmm. and how much of a revelation that was to you. Now, was there any kind of did it fulfill your expectations, or was there any kind of disconnect between the sounds you heard in your head and you wrote down on paper to what actually you heard from the orchestra?
Yeah, there's always going to be some sort of disconnect, you know, no matter, I guess that's the learning spirit, you know, process for composers. So luckily, you know, when you work with a school orchestra, that's the advantage that you could maybe go in there, a workshop, a few places, and polish the piece to be what you really wanted it to be. So that piece had a reading with Heart, and then later, you know, I make some changes, revisions accordingly, so it was more ready for the professional orchestra 2 years later.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to the concert that is happening this evening. And I misspoke before the news that this is a performance. You have to be careful. I have to be careful when I see the word Waltzen in print, because my brain doesn't know exactly which way to go sometimes. But this is a performance by the Gonzaga Symphony Orchestra, led by conductor Kevin Heckmuth-Panna. And it is at the Myrtle Waltzen Performing Arts Center on the Gonzaga University campus. And let's bring our soloist, our soloist in on this, Bruce Bodden, who is likewise in the studio with us. When we were talking before we began the program, I asked you about the Myrtle Waltzen Performing Arts Center and how you find that as a flute player standing on that stage for the first time. You were obviously happy with the space. So tell us why this is a good experience for you.
Yes. Good morning. The building, the auditorium, has been open for a couple of years, but somehow I had managed not to play there before now. So the first time I went on stage for rehearsal was the first time in the building. And basically, I just got out my flute and played a few notes, and the sound came back to me from the back wall, and I kind of went, oh, wow, okay, mm-hmm. this is going to be good. Mm-hmm. Because it's very responsive. And I think you could call it bright in the sense that the sound does not get muffled at all, mm-hmm. but it's very, it's spacious too. So you never have to like put your hands over your ears because the orchestra is too loud, mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. sound just becomes a big blare.
All right. And, Xu Ying, let's talk a little bit about the pieces that are on this program, which again is at 7:30 this evening at the Myrtle Waltzen Performing Arts Center on the Gonzaga University campus. And again, in parenthesis, if you have not been in that space, visually it's a delight, as well as being an oral delight when orchestra is playing. So again, 7:30 tonight there. You have two pieces on the program here. Let's start with the one that Bruce is not involved with. Tell us a little bit about that. It's called American Variations for Clarinet and Orchestra.
Sure. So a little bit background of both pieces. They are from a series of 5-minute concertos originally for chamber ensemble. So I worked with my own group, a quintet for 2 years, and then we released this album on a collection of 5 mini concertos, basically based on each soloist's very unique identity, mainly focusing on different countries. So this American Variations is for clarinet. You know, as the title tells, it's about American music and culture. So it's a set of variations based on the original theme that it then realized in different American musical styles. So I included jazz, ragtime, atonal, in a way, klezmer, and pop, rock, touch style. So the overall structure depicts a metaphorical journey through different times in American history in both macro and micro levels. Specifically, the third variation, subtitled Strange, Strange Time, focuses on the frustration and disappointment that, I guess, when the piece was written, you know, Americans were experiencing. And then the piece ends with a variation called Coming True, in which the music depicts the power of the American dream and the resiliency of human spirit to overcome differences in favor of unity and progress.
Let's listen to a little bit of this piece. I'm playing from Xuying Li's album on the Navona label that involves your ensemble, the Four Corners Ensemble. And Four Corners of the globe, I assume.
Yes.
Such as a globe can have corners.
Right.
We can deal with that one later. That's a philosophical question. But so your players come from all over the place, and ultimately each is represented on the album. So let's give a listen to a bit of this. This is American Variations, written by our guest in the studio today, Xuying Li.
Thank you.
And we are listening to a piece by composer Shuying Li, who is here in the studio with us this morning. And we're talking about a program happening this evening at the Myrtle Wolson Performing Arts Center at Gonzaga University that involves music of Beethoven, for sure, and not any small piece, but Symphony No. 3, the Eroica, played by the Gonzaga Symphony Orchestra, and as well, a pair of pieces by Shuying Li. And we were talking a little bit about the piece when it was playing for us here, and some marvelous touches in there, including the little Rhapsody in Blue lick for the that was obviously a conscious addition
on tribute.
Your part. So I also asked the question of how the orchestra is dealing with this piece, because it is, after all, a student orchestra. The purpose for them is to learn, and I'm sure that for many of them, this may have been their first real immersion experience in contemporary music. But you said they have learned a lot from this experience. What is something that you think is important that the orchestra members learn from playing your scores?
I think, you know, Kevin has done a brilliant job introducing and, in a way, interpreting this piece for, you know, as a learning experience for the orchestra. They've really come a long way. I was there at the very beginning, and also yesterday when there was the whole orchestra, you know, played this in great fluency. I can totally tell by now they've already, you know, I guess, comprehended the piece a lot better, in a way.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
quite
excellent.
Experience, yeah.
Right. That's what it's all about, to expand, because the more you expand, the more that falls under your comfort level, which is really the point of the university orchestras. Let's turn to Bruce Bodden now. We know him best as the principal flute of the Spokane Symphony Orchestra, but here, Bruce, you are the soloist in this piece called Dryad.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the piece from your vantage point as soloist, in terms of the unique challenges that it offers you, or some special moments from it.
Well, it's very well written for the flute. There's really nowhere where I have been working on it and thinking, what on earth were they thinking? So thank you, Shuying, for writing a piece actually playable. It has a little bit of what we call extended techniques, mm-hmm. where you go beyond just making pretty flute sounds. Thankfully for me, it doesn't get too out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of beatboxing, which is a work in progress for me.
Let's stop.
Oh, okay.
Right there, because that gives us something to ponder for a second.
All right.
The beep. I think most people are familiar with what beatboxing is. It's the imitation by the human voice and body of a beatbox, which is of course one of the givens of a lot of contemporary music. How does that work on the flute?
You end up doing basically all the noises using your mouth on the instrument and just trying to make the sound project out there, you know, without amplification.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna try it.
I can understand why you view that as a work in progress. It's not something you find on me.
But keeping the flute up to your lip, you get a little bit of like a whisper of the tone, so it's possible to tell what note you're actually playing while this percussive effect is going on.
Mm-hmm. All right. That sounds marvelous. The name of the piece is The Dryad. Back to you, Shuying. Sorry. What is the source of the title?
So The Dryad was inspired by Hans Christian Andersen's same-titled fairy tale. It depicts a chestnut tree's migration from the countryside to the modern city Paris, and focuses on the ideas of nostalgia, desire, modernity, old and new homes, and contrasts and struggles related. I also quoted an art song from Schubert, his art song Dear Lindenbaum, that is featured throughout the piece as a representation of that nostalgia and old memories that the Dryad has when being migrated to a new place with totally new experiences.
So the flute then becomes the character?
In a way, yes.
In a way. Okay, all right. You, Bruce, you're definitely on a journey on this piece then.
Yeah, I found the dual source of the concerto to be kind of fascinating. Do you mind if I go on for just a moment?
Sure.
So the fairy tale by Hans Christian Andersen, there's a dryad living in a tree, as they do, out in the country, and she's yearning to go to the big city. And she's just not satisfied with her life in nature and being in the same place all the time. So she finally gets uprooted and moved to a park, only to find out that while it's all very exciting, she's still stuck in her tree, and it's noisy and smoky and not quite as much 100% fun as she thought. But she still wants to get out of her tree and see the city. So I think it's a lot like anyone's experience moving to a new place where, oh, this is going to be so exciting. And then you get there and it's crowded and noisy and dangerous and expensive. and then the other source, Der Lindenbaum, the lyrics have to do with it's from Winterreises, the traveler is setting out on his journey, and he passes this tree where he's spent many a leisurely afternoon dreaming under its branches, and the tree whispers, "Come back, you can find peace under my branches. Come back, don't go." And everyone who goes anywhere, I think, you have those two contrasting pulls. There's the pull of the new and the pull of the old. And I find, even though it's a very modern piece, obviously it was just written, but even though it's very modern in its approach, it's very romantic in the idea behind it. That was my take on it anyway.
Thank you.
She didn't know I was going to say any of
well,
this.
Well, I think this couldn't have been told better. So thank you, Bruce.
All right, there we go. We have the ground map laid out for us here. So let's give a listen to this piece, The Dryad. Now, what you will hear tonight will be different from what we're going to hear now, because it is Xu Ying's arrangement for full orchestra. Besides the depth that's added by the extra parts, because this is scored for in this version, clarinet, violin, cello, and piano. What to you is added in the orchestral version? What are the kind of the sound impressions? How are those different or enriched by having the full orchestra there?
I think by having a full orchestra, I got a lot more nuance, you know, to explore the different colors in a, you know, more grand way. So the subtle thing could be even more subtle, and then the grand could be even grander. So that's the advantage of, you know, having the full orchestra.
All right. And look forward to that. And again, our guests in studio this morning have been the composer Xu Ying Li from Gonzaga University, whose works The Dryad for flute and orchestra and American Variations for clarinet and orchestra are essentially two-thirds of the program this evening at the Myrtle Waltz and Performing Arts Center on the Gonzaga campus. Performance by the Gonzaga Symphony Orchestra, led by Kevin Hekmatpana. And again, to hear the fully fleshed-out version, you'll have to go there tonight. But here's a good sample of the kind of music you're going to hear by Xu Ying Li, played by her Four Corners Ensemble.
Thank you.
The music of Xu Ying Li, her piece The Dryad, played by solo flute Erica Boysen, along with members of the Four Corners Ensemble. My deep thanks to Xu Ying Li and also to Bruce Bodden for a delightful conversation around this performance this evening of the Gonzaga University Symphony Orchestra, on which there are two pieces by Xu Ying Li, her Dryad that we just heard, and also American Variations for clarinet and orchestra, both of the pieces with the full Gonzaga Orchestra, led by Kevin Heckmut-Panna.